422 DWS News Hour. This upcoming Tuesday is Election Day. Many have already submitted their early votes, and many will do so on Tuesday. University of Illinois Institute of Government and Public Affairs' Chris Mooney joins us now for a look at some of the upcoming races. Chris, always good to have you with us. Welcome back again.
Well, thanks, Scott.
Appreciate it. Let's start with the governor's race, which, if you believe the polls, which sometimes the governor doesn't believe it, but if you believe them, it looks like it is not in doubt. How do you see it?
Yeah, I mean, the polls, of course, are only a snapshot in any given moment. So when you talk about, well, the polls are changing, if public opinion is changing, the polls should change, right? And so if polls are giving us different numbers from time to time, maybe the public opinion is changing. And also, each individual poll has got oftentimes a fairly large margin of error. So really what you want to look at is the trend. And in this particular race, the governor's race, Pritzker has been consistently up double digits since July. He took a big bump in August up and was leading almost by 20 points. That's pretty much held consistent until the last one I've seen, which dropped it down. So the margin of error or margin of victory between the two was only like 5%. But again, that might be a random poll. It might be something has changed. Even so, 5% lead at this time when you're running against an incumbent, you know, you got to like that if you're Pritzker.
He has been vague about his tax plan and has said he wants to work with the legislature, and that's why he's withholding details. Now, a cynic might think, Chris, that if you're in the lead, why give out details that could be criticized? You don't need to. And perhaps, you know, somebody who is taking him at his word would say, well, this is a guy that's talking about working with the legislature on all this and obviously would have an advantage as a Democrat on that. What do you see in his reticence to reveal any of a specified plan?
Well, I think both factors, as you mentioned, are at play here. Whenever you've got a race against an incumbent, especially a chief executive, the races, by and large, are for him on that incumbent. And so this election is really not about J.B. Pritzker. It's about Bruce Rauner. And, hence the reason he's been super unpopular for really the last couple of years, and it's manifesting itself in this now. So Pritzker, yes, I mean, a forthright candidate, in a democracy, disregard the strategic considerations and move forward boldly with a plan to tell everybody what they're going to do. But that just doesn't happen generally in practice because people who are running off for office are strategic and they look and see what they might, what their actions do to lead towards them winning. And Pritzker knows that, or at least he's banking on the idea that if he says something specific, he can get hammered at it. If he says something general, it's easier for him to duck and weave, and that's all he needs to do and keep out of Rauner's way, who keeps, having his own problems of self-inflicted wounds.
It's not the first time a politician has been wealthy and run for office, but we are seeing this trend now, at least here in Illinois, and you look at the president as well as really wealthy people running for office. Has running for office, have they priced out people now because of this, because they're putting their own money into this whole thing? Can the little guy ever make it to Springfield again?
Illinois is kind of behind the curve on this with these super rich, what I call them, super rich neophyte candidates. They got more money than you can possibly imagine. And so financing a $20, $50, $100 million gubernatorial campaign or senator campaign or presidential campaign doesn't mean much to them, or not that much to them. I'm sure it means a little to them. We have not elected anybody like that to office until Bruce Rauner in this state, and that is statewide office. Whereas in the nation, almost a quarter of governors today are super rich, rich like Bruce Rauner is rich. Maybe not rich as Pritzker, but Pritzker will not be the richest governor. The guy down in Tennessee who owns a Flying J gas stations all over the South, and that guy's got more money Yeah, he makes you know, he can play poker with Pritzker, let's put it that way. So it's a common thing. But one thing that really I'm interested in is not just the fact that they're super rich, but the fact that they go some of them go straight from business world to government, and how does that sort of skill set translate? And we've got about, I think there's 7 or 8 of them right now who are governors who are these neophyte, you know, they're super rich, and the first job they ever had in government was governor. Boom, you know, start right off at the top, just like Rauner. So he's an example. And you might, you know, there's different arguments. You could say, well, they might be great because they bring a business sense to government. On the other hand, they have no idea what government's like, and so they might be terrible. And it turns out there's a wide range. And for example, there's a guy who's a governor of North Dakota who's one of these guys, and he's like 65% popular, even, you know, among all parties. On the other hand, there's Bruce Rauner, and Bruce Rauner is super unpopular. And so I don't think it's really so much about being rich as it's, you know, sort of competence in what you're doing. Now, you know, are you going to price people out of the market? I really don't think so in Illinois, because I think especially, well, we'll see how, if Pritzker wins, we'll see how his administration goes. And these two guys may, you know, he doesn't do a good job, they may put a taint on that idea.
Chris Mooney is with us for just a few moments longer with the Institute of Government and Public Affairs. Looking at legislative races across the state, is there anything really in the balance? I'm sure, you know, key races, or could we see much change in the chambers after November?
There really won't be a huge amount of change. Any change that there may be looks like it's going to be in the Democrats' direction, because the Republicans are fighting, playing defense in more places than the Democrats are. And in particular, the western suburbs of Chicago, DuPage County in particular, is a huge battleground. There's so many contested races out there. There's also a contested congressional race, one of the closest in the nation, and it's just a hotbed of conflict this particular go around. Which, you know, 15 years ago there wasn't, actually 10 years ago there wasn't a state legislator from DuPage that you know ever got more than probably 30% Democratic vote against them way in there. And now there certainly there was no members from DuPage since the cutback amendment, but now things are different.
I grew up in that area, and I was just home recently. Every yard seems to have political signs in it. Didn't used to see that. And it seems like every other yard is alternating parties as well.
And you're seeing it all over TV in Chicago, which you never used to see hard at all. State legislative races, House races on TV in Chicago. That is nuts.
Chris Mooney with the Institute of Government and Public Affairs. You're a busy guy, I'm sure, especially this season. We're looking forward, though, that you will be contributing to our election night coverage here on DWS on Tuesday night. So we'll look forward to hearing you again.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks a lot, Scott.
Thank you. Chris Mooney with us here on the DWS News Hour, local news in a moment.